Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
He opened for Neighbor Gatsy over the weekend, but probably not for long. He's from the region, St. Louis area. Proud to welcome into the program comedian Greg Warren. Greg, welcome. Glad to have you, man.
Hey, guys. Great to talk to you.
Greg, I am a huge consumer of live comedy. There isn't a show, really, that I have not seen. I've seen all of the big names over the years. And I have to tell you, I first saw you on Reels. Your fishing high school team bit came up on Reels. I cracked up. I shared it with all of my friends. And so I was so thrilled. We're sitting down. We're waiting for Nate to come out. You opened, and I thought, God, I recognize this guy. And you launched into that epic fishing joke. It is brilliant. It is so funny.
Thank you
for it.
Oh, I really appreciate you saying that. It's very nice. I had a blast in KC, man. It was awesome.
So, real quick, you've got 9 shows coming up at the Comedy Club in Kansas City. We want everyone to know it's December 26th to 31st. What Scott's going to ask. You keep adding shows. How the heck did you get from St. Louis to at the very top of the comedy stage?
I don't know. I mean, I certainly need to thank Nate because that was, he's done a lot for me in the last several years. But that show in Kansas City was nuts. I've never had that happen. I was like, hey, Nate's always trying to help people out. So I told Julian, the MC, the host, who's a really funny guy, I was like, hey, I got a show coming up in Kansas City. Will you say something about it? And he's like, yeah. So then we sold all the shows out like the day of the show, I think, or whatever. So we added, we just keep adding shows, and I've never had anything like this happen to me before. So I think right now we're up to 10 shows or something. Wow. in KC, and it couldn't happen in a better place. I grew up in St. Louis, but I went to Mizzou, and I got a lot of friends in KC, so I've spent a lot of time there. So this is nuts.
Not that you haven't had success. Clearly you have. But do you feel like you're on the cusp of like a major breakthrough?
I'm one of these like superstitious people that I don't want to say something like that because I don't know. I've had some success, and it's the nature of this business is you kind of go up and down a little bit. But it feels a lot different the last 2 years, and it's been pretty cool.
When did you decide, Greg? I think I've said this 100 times on our program here, that live comedy done well, I think it's almost impossible to make a living doing it. It's so hard to do it well. It's even harder to do it clean. And Nate shows your show is clean. When did you decide to go that route? It is harder, but I think it's more brilliant when it's done correctly the way you do it.
Agreed.
Oh, thanks for saying that. Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of, it's a good question. I would say I was never filthy, but I was profane up until about 10 years ago. And I had a guy, he runs all the comedy at Sirius Radio, and he's a friend. And he was like, hey, man, you're too clean to not be all the way clean. You need to make that switch. And I was like, all right. So I put an album out with him, and it really had some success, and things started changing. I was like, all right, I can't go back. So I guess it was maybe 10 years ago when I was like, I'm going to basically be G-rated at the time. I need to be honest. He also said he would play me a bunch on Sirius, and I would make a bunch of money for it. So it wasn't completely altruistic.
I read somewhere online that you went to West Point. Is that true or is that false?
Yeah, that is true. I for 1 year, you're supposed to go for four.
We're aware. That's how you become an officer.
Yeah, I was what they called in the Army a quitter. I left after the first year. But yeah, I did go. And one of my best friends from West Point is a guy named Matt Martin who stuck it out and he went to Blue Springs in Kansas City, and he's like my biggest supporter when I come to KC, man.
One thing a lot of people don't know is that to get into West Point, you have to get a recommendation from a congressman or woman or a senator.
Yeah.
Which congress member or senator wasted their letter on you?
I mean, that's a real interesting way of putting it, but it was Robert Young, who is a congressman out of whatever the district was in St. Louis. Robert Young, wasted. Somebody could have been a general if it hadn't been for me.
I'm sure it was an auto pen. It's fine, Greg. What are you doing in between your time when you're coming back into Kansas City? Are you still touring with Nate?
I did a show with Nate Wednesday night in Fort Lauderdale, and then I'm doing my own shows this weekend. It's Nate's a pretty awesome guy, and he has like about 20 people that he rotates in and out to open for him.
Yeah.
So I know I'm doing a weekend with him at like two shows at the United Center in Chicago, and then a couple shows in Cincinnati in October. And then I kind of do a lot of my own stuff, a lot of, comedy club stuff. And then I every now and then open for Leanne Morgan, too.
Oh, my God. We love Leanne Morgan.
Oh, she's great. She's so funny and so nice. And And her and Nate are really good friends. They're like two of the coolest people.
We're speaking with comedian Greg Warren, who opened for Nate Bargatze last weekend in Kansas City. I don't need to tell you this, but I'm just telling it to the audience. But behind every great joke, there has to be a seed of truth. And your high school fishing team jokes are some of the funniest jokes I've ever heard. Where is the seed of truth in that joke?
My dad is a coach. My dad was my high school wrestling coach. Yeah. So you nailed it. He still watches tapes of me wrestling in high school and critiques them. I'm 57, guys. What were you doing in this match? You're just laying there like a dead animal. What was wrong with you? I don't remember, Dad. I quit wrestling 32 years ago. You quit wrestling in the middle of this match. That's when you quit wrestling.
Oh my God, Greg. Hey, what's it been like doing your own shows and playing comedy clubs? And we know what a grind that is. Not to say that's not important work and groundwork and all of those things, to look up and being like in these huge sold out arenas. Is it any different for you?
It's insane. I mean, I don't think I ever thought I'd be doing something like that. I love comedy clubs. It's where I've kind of honed my craft. I feel very at home there. And I've done all kinds of different venues, but I think it's because it's Nate and who his audience is. And then you guys wouldn't notice, but the production quality that Nate stresses at those big arena events, it almost feels like a giant comedy club.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
It's crazy. And I think a lot of that is just because Nate is who he is, but it's also like those screens that they travel with and the sound equipment, like it's top notch stuff. So, and then I've never, the round really makes it. It's weird I've done a couple of arenas where you're like on one side of the arena and everybody's in front of you. That is a little tougher to sort of connect with everybody. But when you're in the round in T-Mobile, it's just like, and then everybody's on the floor. My favorite thing, I rush out every time to see Nate walk out. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
That video they play. And then he walks Nate just walks through thousands of people, very, very calmly, and it's pretty awesome.
As a comedian, do you feel like you always have to be on?
No. I've been around people that are always on, and I hate them.
It's exhausting.
No, No, I mean, I think you there's definitely a heightened sense of yourself that you do when you're performing or you're being interviewed or whatever. But I don't think you can be truly funny, you know, off stage if you're pushing all the time. So I think you need to sort of just be human for a while.
Go home and watch Family Feud at 6:30.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, yeah. Now, there's probably somebody that was around me recently who was like, no, he's really annoying. Trust me. Yeah.
Well, we love it. And I don't even know that there's space left at the now 10 shows at the Comedy Club of Kansas
City. There is.
Good.
There's a couple of tickets left on New Year's Eve. Not a lot. And then I think they just added a show on like the 27th or maybe the 28th or something like that.
They just added a show.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, you guys are the first people I've talked to since all that. But thank you to Kansas City. This has been a crazy, crazy week. I've never seen anything like it. So thank you to Kansas City.
We're just happy for you, my friend.
I'll be there in the audience, yeah. Greg, cheering you on in December, and you will hear my laugh. I assure you that.
It is a cackle. It is not a laugh.
I love it. Make sure you guys say hi. Yeah,
I
thank
will.
You for 100%. Putting me on, too.
All right, Greg Warren, thank you for your time. Really appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. We'll see you later.
Okay, be well.
Assistant high school fishing coach, and I never wanted to meet somebody so bad in my life. Guys, we're going to have a tackle box inspection at 9 a.m. And you better have all your hooks and you better have all your lures or you're not going to get on that school bus. I can tell you that right now. Bobby Henderson, I found a half of a ham sandwich in your tackle box. That's not how a fisherman treats his equipment, son. You think Babe Winkleman has a half of a ham sandwich in his tackle box? You think Bill Dance has any kind of a sandwich in his tackle box? That's all I got, Coach. Back to you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, a couple of stories. By the way, thanks to Greg Warren. He was fun. So fun. Man, two interviews down. We got one to go, and so far they've been fun today. Sinclair, the broadcast station owner that took Jimmy Kimmel Live off the air amid criticism of the host's comments about the assassination of Charlie Kirk, said today that they will return to the show tonight on the company's 30 ABC affiliates. Quoting here from Sinclair, our objective throughout this process has been to ensure that programming remains accurate and engaging for the widest possible audience, and that we don't lose money. We take very seriously our responsibility as local broadcasters to provide programming that serves the interests of our communities while also honoring our obligations to air national network programming. We were probably about to be sued by ABC, so we wouldn't put them back on the air. Sinclair and Nexstar, another owner of ABC affiliate stations, announcing last week they would preempt airings of Kimmel's talk show after the comedian criticized Republicans for their response to Kirk's killing. Okay.
It's actually less about whether or not ABC would have sued them. It's about the advertisers that bought spots on their station to air during Kimmel. Fair. That were now airing during celebrity, whatever the heck they were playing in place of it.
But it was Celebrity Family Feud, which advertisers, it's my understanding, were fleeing in droves.
They weren't very happy about that.
No, they
change.
Were not. The gunman who suspected he had CTE when he killed four people and himself in a Manhattan office building in July did, in fact, have CTE. That's not an excuse.
This was the former high school football player who went into this Manhattan office tower. He was looking for the NFL headquarters, ended up killing, I believe, four people,
including a police officer,
did not work for the NFL in any fashion. And they have looked at his brain, and lo and behold, he had it.
His name is Shane Tamura. He was 27 years old. In fact, I believe he shot him, and again,
shot himself in the chest,
in the heart, and left a note: "Check my brain. I have CTE."
He had unambiguous diagnostic evidence of low stage chronic traumatic encephalopathy, according to the New York City Medical Examiner. One of the things I said to Scott during a break is, are we going to start blaming murderous behavior on brain injuries?
No.
We have certainly seen murderous behavior. Aaron Hernandez, who did, in fact, after he died, appear to have gigantic gaps and holes and trauma in his brain.
I'm not disputing that, but there are so many other things. And I know you watched the Aaron Hernandez documentary. There are so many other things that played a role in what may have occurred in his life and the murders he committed, not the least of which is his own unwillingness to come to grips with his sexuality. And I'm supposed to be this tough guy. My dad's a coach. I'm a football player. I play for the Patriots. I'm the tough guy. Oh, and I'm gay.
So I saw this on a reel on Facebook a few weeks ago, and it was a neurologist, and they asked him, what is the worst brain that you'd ever seen? And so I click on it, and I'm watching this physician talk about it. And it was the brain, he said, of 15-year-old Kip Kinkle. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a few years ago.
1998.
He is the 15-year-old who woke up one morning, killed his dad, waited for his mom to come home, killed his mom, went to his high school, fired off, 50 shots. Two people died.
Mm-hmm. 25 injured.
And this physician looked at his brain and came to some conclusions. He said, people, Scott, who do the worst things often have troubled brains. But to your point, Scott, it does not mean because you have a head injury, we're excusing murderous behavior. Or if you have a head injury, you have some hall pass or even some propensity to go out and commit murder. But the more and more we're hearing about the evidence, and I'm almost sad to see that this came back, that he had low-level CTE, because I don't want people to go, oh, well, he had brain trauma, so that's why he murdered people.
It's similar to when people say, well, they had a rough childhood.
Right?
They had a rough upbringing. It's like a lot of people had a rough upbringing. They didn't go murder somebody.
It's no excuse.
In the brains this physician looked at, the brains of murderers showed abnormal activity in a variety of brain regions, especially the prefrontal cortex, involved with empathy, judgment, and forethought.
I understand, but back to Sam's point, you know, not all of us grow up in a middle class lifestyle where, you know, we have good parents and stuff like that. That doesn't give you an excuse to go running around and murdering people. Aaron Hernandez, who had a relatively decent upbringing, and did he have CTE? Yes. But that doesn't give you the right to go and extinguish the rights of other people. I mean, this guy
he barely played high school football. The guy
in the New York shooting. Tamura.
Barely played. And in fact, his coach said, Scott,
I don't even think he was necessarily a starter.
To his recollection, he had maybe a sprained ankle that sidelined him. So, you know, the question then becomes, you know, how do we on the front end protect our brain health? Let's not excuse it on the back end when things go south and there's aggression and there's rage and there's, you know, all of the things. With NFL players, they know now going in. The evidence is clear. We've seen what it can do to the human brain.
Right. But why is it, and I ask out of ignorance, and maybe it's just because of the large number of football players in America, but why is it that when there are CTE-related homicides, or CTE is a component in the homicides, right? Mm-hmm. They had CTE, they had rage, they had anger issues, etc. And everybody wants to blame football. And I get it. But you never hear of kids who grew up boxing or wrestling who clearly get concussed. I mean, you're telling me that boxers don't get concussed?
Hockey, soccer, rugby.
Yeah. I mean, there was a hockey player in England. It's in the stack today. He was on the Arsenal Youth League. He ended up playing. He didn't make it. He was down in the seventh tier league in England. He got a concussion earlier this week. Mm-hmm. He's dead.
Soccer players actually get more concussions than football players.
Mm-hmm. And yet you never hear about a soccer player or a boxer.
Yeah.
Who, you know, engages in this sort of behavior.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Is it just simply because we're such a football-obsessed society that maybe, when it does happen in football, because we know that the information was hidden from the players and their families for so long, when it does happen in football, does it grab the headline sooner?
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. We just had a who did this version?
Luke Combs.
Luke Combs, that's right. We just had a mild disagreement here in the studio, and I said to Sam, I go, right before the vocals started, I said, is this Tracy or is this What's-His-Face? And Sam goes, it's What's-His-Face. And I go, you know, his version is better, and I'm from the 80s. Mm-hmm. And Danny goes, ooh.
It is, objectively. Sorry, Tracy.
Sure, I feel about that.
One charted and one didn't.
Oh, no. Tracy Chapman's did chart.
Oh, it did?
Oh, most certainly it did.
I stand corrected.
It was a huge hit in 1989. Let's go to Kyle in Spring Hill. Hello, Kyle.
Good afternoon, guys. I'm not really disagreeing with the point you were saying about, you know, boxers and soccer players having more propensity than, you know, American football players. Could it be a repetition issue? Like I was telling Sam, a boxer might fight, what, one or two fights a year?
Yeah.
Whereas the football players are playing 17 games a season, plus preseason games, plus practices where they are constantly smacking their heads into one another at high speed.
Kyle, let me jump in for a second, and I want to hear your take on this on the other side of my quick point. I don't dispute a thing you just said, but boxers also spar throughout the year. I mean, they don't just get into the ring untrained, having no clue who they're going up against. They spar. Now, granted, they wear headgear, but they're still getting massive jabs to the head when they spar, do they not?
But a box match doesn't last as long as a football game. You know, again, you're talking a couple of hours for a football game, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, again, it's quick punishment. It's hard-hitting punishment, both of them. I just think it comes down to repetition.
The other thing we don't understand, Kyle, this is, you know, the holy grail of scientific discovery, if they can figure it out, why some young men who take so many hits over their career end up, quote, being fine. And then you have one or two, and some of them have been local community college players, high school players, that really we maybe one or two hits and end up with massive CTE.
Well, and maybe you'll remember the name. There was the young man, I believe it was
Spring Hill
or Harrisonville. Yep. I can't recall. It was somewhere down south. And he played high school football. That was it.
Yep.
That was it. And he got CTE.
I remember his brother said, I took more hits more often, played longer. They just don't know why. They don't know why.
And I played football. I played line. I played soccer. Went through the windshield of a car. That's got to be worth at least three concussions.
At least.
And I do not have anger issues. Do I get angry sometimes? Of course I do. I'm a human being. But I don't have this detachment from reality, this angry all the time mode to my personality.
Man, I must be special.
Why? What do you mean?
I'm just kidding. You're always mad at me. I'm just kidding.
I am.
It's a joke.
Oh my God, you are kidding, right?
It's a joke.
I want you to tell everybody listening that I never get mad at you, ever.
Unless I prod it, and I do that way too often.
Okay, last week I did raise my voice at you, but you were trying to get my goat.
I got your goat. I did.
I told you both where you could stick it yesterday, as I recall.
Thwack! Thwack! Mm-hmm. Brenda in Lenexa. Brenda, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I just had a thought that could it be caused by the steroids that they take?
It probably doesn't help. Yeah, Brenda. It probably doesn't help.
Well,
aren't football players tested for that?
Well, I think they get around it somehow a lot of times, because I just know a lot of football players. I'm a massage therapist, and I work on a lot of people. Like, I worked on the Chiefs, and I think just recognizing their issues. My sister is works in neurofeedback, and I just putting it all together, and also having been put on steroids just recently, I can feel the difference. And I was so irritated, and mm-hmm. so I didn't even like myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agitated.
So I just wonder,
how long have you been on,
agitated.
How long have you been on the steroids? If I can ask, Brenda, it's none of my business.
No, I was just having some breathing problems mm-hmm. from asthma and the allergies. And it was just like a month, but I had to take myself off of them. I couldn't stand it anymore.
I was on steroids for 3 days and I took myself off.
Yeah, I don't think I lasted very long. I can't remember, but I had had a cold, and then it went into the asthma. And so it just struck me as maybe it's just it could be steroids causing part of the irritation, because it just seems like sometimes they don't know what they're doing. I also know if it's the concussions along with the steroids. You know, if you put a lot of times people have a whole bunch of things going on at once, because one thing leads to another to another.
Right.
And yeah, that was just my thought.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thank you for it. I'm not convinced necessarily that steroids play a big role in it. They play a role in the sport. I have no idea. I will tell you this. It was when I had a polyp on my vocal cords back in 2007 or 8. And the doctor, before they did surgery, they wanted to put me on steroids to see if that would get rid of the polyp. And I was on them for 3 days. I had never had more energy in my life.
Hello!
I went to the gym, lifted weights for 3 hours, and could have gone another three more. Honest to God.
Yeah.
But I was so angry. I mean, it really does.
Like screaming in traffic angry?
I remember driving to the gym with the girls. They were young. So this would have, let's say it's 2008. Sarah would have been 7. Maya would have been 4. And the gym that I went to had a little daycare where you could just drop your kids off, and it was part of your membership. And they got into an argument in the back seat on the way to the gym. And the gym was only 2 miles away.
Yep.
And I'm not a yeller. I started screaming at the top of my lungs. I yanked a Huey on Woodland Drive.
Did you pull a "don't make me come back there"?
Yes. I mean, I was screaming at them. I yanked a Huey, went straight back home. Sean and I were still married. I walked them both in the house. She was sitting in the living room. She thought she was going to get an hour or two of peace.
Not happening.
I said, "You take care of these idiots. I'm done with them." And I went to the gym and worked out for 3 hours. Steroids turn you into somebody you are not.
Yeah. I don't think they cause CTE.
Yeah, I don't either.
No.
Kathy in Kansas City. Kathy, hello.
Hello. I have an issue with, I think part of the problem is that when you watch a football game and you see somebody make a touchdown, what does the other members of the team do? They come running up and hitting them in the head for congratulations.
They do. That is true.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Or they'll butt heads like, "Hey, you know, good job." You know, guys, maybe kind of slow down on that.
Kathy, I agree.
No more.
I mean, talk about friendly fire.
No more slapping your friend on the head for doing a good job.
Right.
All right, Kathy. Do appreciate the call. Thank you for it. All right. Hey, don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. That is brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue pit to plate. Just go to Q39KC.com. And in the 4 o'clock hour, you may have heard him on The Voice earlier this week. I think it was Monday night. And T and I are just sitting there watching The Voice, enjoying it. This kid named Max Cooper, I say kid, he's in his early 20s. Max Cooper III is crushing a version of Cooler Than Me. And who's the original singer on that, Sam? Do you recall?
Mike Posner.
And I actually think Max did a much better job than Max Posner. Mike Posner.
Yep.
And then he gets an all four chair turnaround. Snoop turns around within 10 seconds. That's how good this kid is. He joins us in studio at 4:15 this afternoon here on Dana and Parks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me do a little research, but everything that I have seen, including the Gin Blossoms official Facebook page, seems to indicate that they will be playing tomorrow night on the main stage at 8 p.m. in Leavenworth for free.
Stop it.
Everything I have seen, it's called Camp Leavenworth Festival.
Hey, jealousy.
It starts today.
Until I fall away.
Goes tomorrow. And I have looked up multiple websites, and they are apparently on the main stage tomorrow at the Leavenworth Landing Park, which is right up on the river. It's where Melissa Etheridge played when we went to see her about 4 years ago, Sam.
Yeah.
Right up against the river by the train tracks. The Gin Blossoms performing, from what I understand. Let me continue to double check and make sure this is accurate. But I've checked three different sites, including their Facebook page. And it says the Gin Blossoms are performing for free tomorrow night.
Wow.
At the Camp Leavenworth Festival at the Leavenworth Landing Park by the river. Wow. I have seen the Gin Blossoms when they were much younger.
It's been years, but I love them.
And they are very, very good. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, so in just over an hour from now, and that is brought to you by Q39. Listen to this story from NBC News. Derek Dearman appeared to be high on drugs in his Alabama prison in the days leading up to his execution. The convicted killer raged in phone calls and emails, anguishing over how this willingness to die for his crimes wouldn't change the perception of him as an irredeemable monster. And by the time he took his final breath, his longtime addiction to methamphetamine, the drug he blamed for fueling the murders of five people, including a pregnant woman in 2016, had consumed him until the end. Dearman, who was 36, had meth in his body when Alabama put him to death. Had meth in his body when Alabama put him to death by lethal injection in October of 2024. He is not the only prisoner to be executed with narcotics in their system in Alabama recently. In fact, since Alabama resumed executions in 2023, following a pause on capital punishment amid a series of failed lethal injection attempts, the state has executed 11 people, including Dearman. An NBC News review of available autopsies show that at least three others had also taken illegal drugs just prior to their executions. Most of them were synthetic cannabinoids. But with Dearman, it was meth.
Listen, go ahead, Sam.
So for him, prison was almost a gift. If he could get meth the same way inside as he got it outside, now he gets three meals and a bed to sleep on every day as well.
And his meth. That is correct.
Jeez.
There is an EMS team under fire. Follow me here. For treating a man after he was bitten by an incredibly poisonous snake. An EMS team in Kentucky is in hot water after they treated a man who had been bitten by a mamba snake with anti-venom. James Harrison, the director of the Kentucky Reptile Zoo, was bitten by the highly venomous Jameson's mamba while on the job in May. He got the anti-venom he needed to save his life at the zoo, spent days recovering in the ICU. The first responders who administered it are now in trouble.
What's it, the Jameson mamba?
Yes. The victim told us, quoting here from the EMS folks, "We needed to administer the anti-venom as soon as possible. If not, the first stage is paralysis. The second stage is respiratory arrest. The third stage is cardiac arrest." Ooh, and fun. Then he said, quote, "I am going to die." The crew couldn't reach their EMS director, but they did speak with medical staff. And while they were waiting for a helicopter, this is how serious this is, they gave him the anti-venom. Okay?
They are very common in Central Africa.
The EMS team is in trouble because they were told they should have waited for a wilderness paramedic, because wilderness paramedics are the only ones who are able to administer anti-venom.
I need the anti-venom. I don't care who's allowed to give it. I need it now.
Well, first of all, how many wilderness paramedics are just randomly around when you need them in an emergency? Like, I've just been bitten by one of the world's deadliest snakes and I need this right now.
And I'm assuming that anti-venom is administered through a syringe.
Is
there a different syringe for a wilderness paramedic than there is for a regular paramedic?
Very costly, Sam. If you get bit like by a rattlesnake or by a, like, it's crazy expensive.
Oh, no, put that syringe down. We need the wilderness syringe.
It is very rare to be bitten by a Jameson's mamba in a city, but in the wilderness.
This was a zoo director. He was bitten in the zoo. So he knew immediately, I'm going to die.
So where is a wilderness paramedic at a zoo? Wouldn't they be in the wilderness?
I feel like they would be in the wilderness.
Because I think if you're a paramedic and you're a wilderness paramedic, you're probably in the wilderness.
The paramedics now have to go in front of a board and argue to keep their licenses.
You're kidding.
Nope. Quoting here, Sam, if we had sat there and let him die, we would have been morally and ethically responsible, and we could have been criminally charged for his death. If it came down today, I would do the exact same thing. The hearing is September 30th.
Did you say where this occurred?
Yeah, I think it was right outside of the zoo in Powell County, Kentucky.
I guess I'd rather lose my license than the ability to sleep at night.
Right. So. Then watch this guy die because you can't find what is a wilderness paramedic?
It's a paramedic that operates in the wilderness.
That is a very narrow skill set.
They carry an EDC like a Dan Weinbaum. Everyday carry.
They carry a machete.
And anti-venom.
Yeah.
What if he had already used up his anti-venom for that day?
Gotta wait for the next one. Good luck.
I'm with you. I'd rather be able to sleep at night than have a license. Dan Weinbaum's got the news coming up in 2 minutes. Don't forget, Festivus Friday starts in 1 hour here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.